Tiny Talk, episode 17. In this episode, when online RPGs attack, and when online RPGs attack, attacks. Hello, and welcome to Tiny Talk, a podcast about mushes and the people who play them. I'm your host, Javelin, and for this episode of Tiny Talk, we're going to talk a little bit about Wora. That's the web forum when online role-playing games attack. It seems like a lot of people have been asking me about Wora lately. For example, some folks from Wora were asking me why I hadn't done a show yet on Wora, and I said, oh, that's a good idea. On the other side, some folks from some mushes were asking me, well, what do you think about Wora? So in this show, it's my chance to let Wora speak and maybe say a few words myself. So to start with, we've got an interview with Rashim, who is one of the administrators of Wora. Oh, before we start, though, I do want to apologize for the quality of some of the audio in the interview. We were using Skype, and the connection wasn't so great, especially at the beginning. It does get better. Sorry about that. So, Rashim, for those listeners who, you know, may be under a rock and have never heard of Wora, how would you describe it to them?
Wora is basically a forum that was born out of an essential need within the community to rant and complain or to share stories about the various negative that plagues the hobby.
So how long has it been around?
It's been around since 2000, various incarnations.
And you've got about 2,000 members, is that right?
Actually, I don't think we quite topped 2,000 yet. Last I checked, it was 1,900.
Well, that's certainly close enough for me. It's an online message board, and it's quite active, is that right?
It's actually very active. As far as I know, it's the most active forum for mushing or muxing.
Okay, so what do you see as Wora's role in the mushing community?
Its role in the mushing community, it was designed originally purely to be an outlet for venting, and also to basically give people a sounding board, someplace that they're not going to be held too accountable to speak their mind, to say all those things that keep pent up about, you know, whatever games they're playing on, and to express themselves freely. It, however, changed forms rather violently at one point, and we found ourselves surprised because a lot of constructive things were coming out of it. When people would start to complain, they would start to compare notes, and before you knew it, people would start noticing trends. And once you actually establish that there's a trend, the scientific process basically brings you to, how do we fix this? And that's really where the constructive aspect started coming through.
So by calling attention to things that people had experienced on mushes and other online RPGs that they thought were, you know, wrong in some sense, and then having that shared among other people, they're able to kind of figure out what would have worked right.
It wasn't originally designed to even be anything like that. Originally, we mostly just did witch hunts on Wora. We would hear about these things and we'd seek them out and we'd, you know, viciously attack like the, you know, barely pubescent teenagers that we were at the time. So, you know, it really changed forms rather quickly in that aspect.
Well, what got you involved in Wora?
I was around since the beginning of Wora when it was just a couple of logs on a website. And there was a simple link that a friend of mine sent me to a little sandboxy mush. And I logged in, started talking to Jaded Gamer, Psyjack. At the time, Ekchua had some bizarre-ass name. I don't even remember what it was. And started powwowing around with them. And once we got our first easy board account, we went to the forum, started filling it up, and I was basically one of the more loudmouth kids around. And as I grew older in the various forums, Snark and the kept changing hands, I followed. And at one point, I took a long break from the hobby after being banned from SWOFA, mostly due to a extreme conflict of interest between me and the then owner. And when I returned, I saw what had become of the forum, and in part also the community, because really there wasn't a whole lot left. You know, Storyteller Circle was gone. We had OGR in some aspects, and SWOFA, which had been kind of a hub, had basically deteriorated into bad memes and stupid in-jokes.
Could you tell us what SWOFA stands for?
That was Snarkwin Online Forums Attack.
Great.
It was quite possibly the worst forum name ever, but I digress. So then once I got back, I got a hold of Peveril, who was actually hosting SWOFA at the time, and we kind of networked and brought it back together. And we did so mostly not to try and, you know, take it out from under anyone, but to safeguard the concept of what WARA is from those that would basically alter it to cover up their bad behavior, which is the exact same thing that we were fighting against. But yeah, I mean, at this point, I got to point out, even I'm not safe from WARA. In fact, somewhere on there is a thread mocking me for a rather kinky log of mine from back in 1999.
So, in one sense, you've got kind of like an online whistleblowing function that, you know, might lead to people doing things better. And in another sense, you have essentially a venting function, in that regardless of whether there's any effect, people have the opportunity to express things they've found that are, you know, either upsetting or amusing in some sense.
I think to some degree that's pretty accurate. It's a little bit more complicated. One of the main problems I have with WARA is that it changes forms so quickly. From day to day, it could be one thing and then be something else the next. We have really constructive forums where you come and you discuss what's wrong with the game or things that you want to bring to the table. Do you think this is a good idea? We've got a really active coding forum, and it's seen quite a bit of use, not as much as I'd like, but some. And then we have the meat of it, what WARA was initially designed for. And you're right, that it is venting, it's whistleblowing, but at the same time, I wish it was always so constructive, even in a mild sense. But, I mean, really, anybody who visits the forum should be under no illusions. When you go to the negative forums, there are going to be things that are just purely mean. You know, it's really, you have to sift through the copious amount, and it's an insanely busy board compared to anywhere else in the hobby. You really have to sift through copious amounts of garbage to find those pure pieces, but you find so much more there than you do anywhere else. And for me, it's worth it.
Can you, let me start this over again. Are there any specific favorite stories you have about WARA and impacts that it's had?
Oh, boy. I have a couple of favorite bad ones. I think one of my more interesting ones was the experiment that was Haight-Ashbury. Haight-Ashbury was, at the time, a mush designed to be... it's a World of Darkness mush, and it was going to be set in San Francisco. And it was going to be done so in the late 60s, you know, the height of the hippie age. And we're going to have great changeling sphere, this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
They brought me on board. They brought Psyjack, VA Spider, and Shaft. And there was a couple other people. The infamous Dawn, she was the site host that turned out to be rather disastrous. but we established that. And at the time, it was... It sounds very arrogant to say, but at the time it was how it was perceived, a very cream-of-the-crop style lineup. You know, the all-star WARA lineup, we're going to make the best game, perfect game. And we came to a really harsh reality that it doesn't really matter how much you can say that you're above all these things that you complain about, you still can fall victim to it, because the exact same things that happen on all the games that we complain about happened with our all-star lineup.
Huh.
So... for me, that was really telling. You know, it was a major blow to this, you know, self-righteous attitude that a lot of us were starting to take on, and it was a reality snap for me.
many of the mushes that are talked about on Wara are set in the World of Darkness. Is that just a function of there are a lot of World of Darkness players, a lot of World of Darkness mushes?
I think that's part of it, but it's not the whole point. I think Wara mostly has been catering to World of Darkness games more so than others, simply because we have a standard for it. We have a copious amount of World of Darkness players and game designers and mush owners, so that we seem so cluttered we might not be as appealing to other genres, say Pern mushing or Anita Blake games even to a certain degree. I think that's really where a lot of that comes from.
Is there anything else that you'd like the listeners to know?
There has to be there's one thing that I do absolutely want the listeners to know, is that Wara doesn't exist as a positive or negative influence. It just simply is. If people didn't feel the way that they felt naturally as human beings, the same impulses that everybody has in day-to-day life, our urges to have drama, to breed in our own negativity, to have some place to focus it. If people weren't like that, if we as human beings were not fallible to such an extent, Wara wouldn't be as big as it is. So, keeping that in mind, I think Wara hasn't made as much of an impact as it could, because Wara is basically, it's the outlet of passion for a hobby that people are tending to put a lot of their emotional investment into. When you post on Wara and you're talking about something that you can bring so much venom and you know anger to the table, it's because you've allowed yourself to feel that way, because you are naturally positioned to go after something like that. So I think what I'm mostly getting at is that Wara is a very constructive place if you use it for the cathartic purposes that it's designed. You have to acknowledge that Wara exists because people are drawn to that sort of thing. Wara is not the devil. The people who run Wara are not the devil. We're not evil, vile people. We're just simply very in touch with our anger, negative emotions.
And would you say being thick-skinned is a good thing?
That's kind of a necessity. Anybody who wants to come to the forum and check it out, I very much suggest sticking to the constructive forums at first. You can do little forays into it, but honestly, you never know when something that you did, you know, some itty-bitty little mistake they made at some point in your mushing career, somebody might have noticed, you know, and somebody might have brought it forward, and it really bugged them. And suddenly you're under the spyglass, and you know somebody's complaining about this and the other thing. You have to have a thick skin. If you don't read it, because really you're just asking for pain in that instance. But if you can join the fun and just have this circus of insults and flames and this, that, and the other thing, and dig through the garbage with us to find those pure pieces of mushing gold, to elevate the hobby to a higher extent, to just embrace everything about it, everything. You know, I'm not saying I'm a standard for ethical behavior. Hell, I support having kinky and sex mushes, because people need outlets, whatever it's going to be. And as much as we might seem like we're judging on Wara, we're all just as screwed up as you are. Everyone.
Rashim is one of the administrators of Wara, When Online RPGs Attack, a web forum that you can reach at Wara, W-R-A, .netlosers.com. We'll have a link in the show notes. Scusa se non sono un automa, e se c'è un cervello sotto questa chioma, e troppe volte penso con la mia testa, ti sei pentito già di avermi alla tua festa, yeah. Scusa se non sono un automa, e se c'è un cervello sotto questa chioma, e troppe volte penso con la mia testa, ti sei pentito già di avermi alla tua festa, yeah. So what do I personally think? Well, you know, if you've listened to this podcast at all, you probably realize that I spend most of my time looking for the gold, looking for what it is in any mush that I visit, in any person that I talk to, in any aspect of the hobby that I think is worth thinking about, worth keeping, worth listening to. And there's plenty of stuff that I come across that I think is not worth thinking about, is not particularly innovative, and so on. at least not to me. But I try to focus on what's good that everyone could potentially learn something from. So, naturally, what do I think about Wara? I think Rashim is really right when he talks about the size of the community. I think he's really right when he talks about the code forums and the sort of constructive discussions on Wara. And I think it's true that, you know, people do make mistakes, and sometimes it's important feedback to know that other people think you've made a mistake, particularly when they're willing to tell you why they think it's a mistake. If you're running a mush, you've got your own vision that you've got to stay true to. And if that's a vision that other people don't share, if a few other people don't share it or don't think you're doing a good job with it, you know, they'll tell you, hopefully, they'll help you maybe, they'll vote with their feet, or they'll complain. And so if a lot of people don't like your vision or what you're doing, you'll have a small mush. But on the other hand, I don't think that means that you should give up the integrity of your vision. Knowing about other people's opinions is important. Living your life according to other people's opinions, or always being concerned about other people's opinions, not so important. So I'm going to keep a thick skin and avoid the forums that I don't want to read. And if you have something you'd like to say about this, please drop me an email or leave me a voicemail, and I will report on it in a future episode. And now some news and notes. A new event that I just heard about, even though it's going on at my mush. Elvira, one of our currently emeritus administrators, is holding what she calls a working picnic on the topic of managing your mush. This will be Sunday, the 10th of February, at 4:30 U.S. Central, or 10:30 in the evening Greenwich Mean Time. And this is going to be the first of a series of events on managing your mush that focus on using real-life organization and business techniques and seeing how well they'll apply to mush administration. So the first one, Elvira, is going to be leading, talking about a framework from the Open University Business School, marketing, operations, people, and finance or resources. And then there will be a number of speakers going on throughout this series talking about some of these other issues. So for those of you who are interested in what business or management might have to say about mush administration, this would be a fun thing to go to. So there will be some kind of a note in the show notes. There isn't really a link, but there will be a note about that. Music for this episode of Tiny Talk is by Piso from the A Modo Mio album and Jamendo.com. If you're downloading this directly from the web, you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Tiny Talk is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 license, so you're welcome to share it as is, just don't sell it. Show notes for Tiny Talk are at community.penmush.org. If you have comments, mushing questions you'd like answered, or suggestions for future shows, send email to tinytalk@javelin.penmush.org, or leave a voicemail at 206-333-1542. Until next time, keep the text flowing. Mia testa, ti sei pentito già di avermi alla tua festa, che all'almeno.